biggest milestone episode so far on TGV. And folks, you have tuned into episode number 475. And we were able to achieve this milestone in the last 47 months, which is nothing but we have been releasing on an average 10 episodes per month. And today we are pleased to have a special guest on our show, Dr. Radhakrishnan Pillai, sir. He is also known as Chanakya Pillai. On this occasion, I would like to thank Ravindranath Reddy for the introduction. Chanakya Pillai, aka Radhakrishnan Pillai, sir, or Radha, sir, doesn't need any introduction. But here is a brief intro for audience who have tuned in from other countries. Radhakrishnan ji is a author of Chanakya series bestsellers, and he is a teacher of Chanakya's teachings from Kautilya's Arthashastra at the University of Mumbai. He's a TEDx speaker and Josh Talk speaker as well. And he's also working as a corporate trainer and a chief leadership coach at Chanakya Anvikshiki Private Limited. And Radha sir is a most sought after speaker on topics related to leadership, strategy and management, blending traditional wisdom with contemporary business practices. And his engaging style and ability to simplify complex ideas makes him a popular figure in the corporate and educational world. And as we prepare to delve into our conversation on the topic at hand, Chanakya's wisdom in contemporary context, here's an exciting twist. Let us tickle Radha sir's brain first. So Radha sir, get ready for a rapid fire round of random words. I'll mention a few. I'd love to hear the first thing that comes to your mind in response without thinking much. If you are ready, let's get started.
Absolutely, Naveen sir. And congratulations on that 476th episode.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thanks to the universe. Thanks to all the wonderful speakers and audience who have made this possible. And there are many more milestones to come and many more eminent people like you will be joining the show. And I'm truly honored and feeling blessed. Thank you so much once again. So here comes the first word. Curiosity.
Indian wisdom.
Invention.
Google.
Future.
India.
Book.
Corporate Chanakya.
One of my favorites. Movie.
Bahubali.
Wow. Aliens.
Exist.
And then universe.
Limitless.
Leadership.
Chanakya.
Role model.
Swami Chinmayananda.
And then success.
Lots of money with lot of respect.
Lots of money with lot of respect. Great. And here comes the last one. Chanakya.
Leadership guru.
Leadership guru. Amazing. And thank you for the creative answers. And thank you for participating in the first rapid fire round so sportively. And there is one more rapid fire round waiting towards the end of the episode. And before I formally welcome you to the show, let me welcome the audience. So folks, you have tuned into the Guiding Voice podcast series, where we embark on transformative conversations for a better future. As I mentioned earlier, this journey has started 47 months ago and we have completed 475 episodes with guests across 70 countries. And we are currently listed in the global top 2.5% across 3.3 million podcasts. And we are all set to get into the global top 1% in the next quarter. And thank you once again for everybody for being part of this amazing, amazing journey. And I'm your host, Naveen Samala, dedicated to making the world a better place through valuable discussions that add value not only to your life but also to your career. Thank you so much for tuning in. And Radha sir, hearty welcome to TGV, the Guiding Voice. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thank you, Naveen sir. It's an honor to be on your show. You're doing such wonderful work. When I got introduced to you, I said, okay, another podcast. No, this is not another podcast. This is one of the best podcasts I have gone through. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the kind words and let's get the ball rolling. And here comes my first standard question, which I usually ask all my guests about this success mantra. So let's begin with your success mantra, as in top three things that have attributed to your success so far.
So first thing is called education. I think most of us in India believe in that.
Yeah.
Our parents only had one hope. Education will take our children forward. So I think my parents, like any other parents in India, said, you know, you should study a lot. So education has been my biggest strength. Of course, education only for degrees is not good.
Yep.
Only for jobs is not good. So I think the second thing which made me successful was the research. Education is fine. But, you know, you have to also have a research mindset. So I studied and researched on Kautilya Arthashastra. And the third most important factor of success is called mentorship. You should have mentors.
Mm-hmm.
I have lots of mentors. I've got spiritual gurus as my mentors. I have academic teachers as my mentors. I have my parents as my mentors. I got a lot of friends as my mentors. So if you want to succeed, remember, education is important. Research is more important. But having mentors who will guide you, correct you from time to time are the most important factor for success in life and your profession.
Perfect. And this is a great tribute to the mentors who have been shaping the world by shaping amazing leaders. And thank you once again for acknowledging that. And folks that are listening or watching this episode, time and again, every leader talks about mentors and the importance of mentorship. And we are directly hearing from Radha sir as well. So now, in case if you haven't already have a mentor, please go ahead and find a real mentor and go to the next level. So on that note, Radha sir, let's talk about your authorship before I delve into your books and all other stuff. I want to understand from you, who is your favorite author and what you like most about their writing style?
So, you know, it's a nice question, Naveen sir, because I'm surrounded by books. I got a personal collection of more than 10,000 books.
Wow.
Yeah. So since childhood, I've been reading a lot of books and now I become an author myself. My father used to be an author. He has written 13 books. So the world of books has been part of my growing up culture and family culture. Now, coming back to the question of who is my favorite authors, I would say I got multiple favorite authors depending on the field. Like, for example, if you look at management field, I think my favorite author is Stephen Covey, who wrote the famous book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So he's one of my favorite authors. I've read all his books. In the spiritual field, I have Swami Chinmayanandji and Swami Vivekananda. So one of my favorite books is the complete works of Swami Vivekananda.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's very nice to know that great leaders were also writers. If you look at common people, masses, my favorite author is Sudhamurthy.
And what do you like most about her writing style?
The simplicity to connect stories even to children and also to grandparents.
Wow. So at every level, she's able to connect. And in fact, I've read your book, Corporate Chanakya, a while ago. And I think in 2020... you guys have launched this special 10th anniversary edition also. But I read it, if I remember correctly, between 2012 to 2014 time frame. And it was so easy to read. Like, I was able to finish it in about 4 to 5 sittings. And I was so amazed, like, wherein you were able to convey a lot of wisdom with some simple vocabulary, which anybody and everybody can relate to, right? So that is what I like in your writing style as well. And let's move forward, sir. Like, what was the driving factor for you to get specialized in this Kautilya's Arthashastra and how this ancient text has influenced your approach to modern management principles?
So, you know what? As you asked me, the success is based on 3 things: education, research, and mentorship.
Yep.
So I found that, you know, when I was getting educated, mm-hmm. like most of our generation, we were all taught Western principles of management.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong. I think we should learn from every culture. So I think most of the management that I studied was all about the Western methods. But then I used to ask myself this question, okay, fine, we should learn from the West, but we should not forget the East. And we were the richest part of the world. So we don't have a management system or what? And that's when I landed with Kautilya Arthashastra. And I found out that a lot of the ideas are relevant even today. So I wrote these books to simplify the management techniques of Chanakya for the modern world.
All right. So let's move forward and talk about one of my favorite books, Corporate Chanakya. This has been a phenomenal success in terms of becoming national seller and then international bestseller as well. So what specific lessons from Chanakya's teachings do you believe are most relevant for today's business leaders as well as entrepreneurs?
So if you study Corporate Chanakya, that was my first book. I had no idea that this book will become an international bestseller.
Yeah.
I have traveled 22 countries. I have traveled 22 countries and I teach in universities in America, in USA, of course, in many universities, but also in UK. I teach in Singapore, a lot of universities, you know. So I'll tell you, the beauty of this book was that age-old formula for modern-day success.
Yeah.
Age-old formula for modern-day success. So this book was primarily written for the corporate world. That's why it's mm-hmm. called Corporate Chanakya. But I can tell you that it's not limited to the corporate world. I know people from the armed forces, from the Indian Army, Navy, Air Force studying this book. I know people who are from the government and politicians who study this book. I know bureaucrat, IAS, IPS officers who study this book. So even though the name is Corporate Chanakya, the application is across industries also, across sectors and fields.
Right.
And the success of this book is for two reasons. Number one, the book is very simple to read. You know, he said this, you know, so every chapter you can read in, you know, it's almost like 1.5 minutes. Second is that, you know, I have made it very practical.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one topic is how to conduct an interview. Another topic is how to attend an interview. So in the first stage of your life, you attend an interview.
Yeah.
In the second stage of your life, when you become a leader, you actually take an interview. So I got three bullet points, how to attend an interview and how to take an interview.
Yeah.
So it's simple, actionable, practical and relevant. That's what makes corporate Chanakya successful.
Amazing. And I could see that particular vision in you wherein if somebody is being interviewed, they have to mature to a stage wherein they have to interview people by growing in the career, right? So that is so appealing, actually. And let's move to the next one, like with your extensive experience as a management speaker, trainer and consultant, could you highlight key strategies from ancient Indian philosophy that can be applied effectively in contemporary corporate settings?
I will actually use three Sanskrit words for this. Because, you know, Arthashastra is in Sanskrit and fortunately I did my MA in Sanskrit also.
Wow.
So what are the three strategies? The three words are Anvikshiki and then we have Vriddha Sanyogaha and Mitra Sambandaha. Anvikshiki is how to think strategically. So it's a process. And Chanakya says Anvikshiki iti Prathama Vidya. The first knowledge for a leader is strategic thinking. How to think strategically, I think we can do a complete podcast on that also separately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Anvikshiki is strategic thinking. Second is Vriddha Sanyogaha. Vriddha means elders. Sanyogaha means being in touch with them. In India, we are fortunate to have family values where we are in touch with our elders, our parents, our grandparents, our cousins, our seniors. But, you know, these people can give you a lot of wisdom based out of experience. So the real learning is that you should actually be connected with somebody who is more experienced than you. Like the king, the Raja should get mentored by the Rajaguru. It is called as Vriddha Sanyogaha. And the third one is Mitra Sambandaha. Mitra means friend. Sambandha means actually creating an association or being connected. I think today is a generation of lots of connectivity, but no connections. So I think, you know, we have a lot of friends, but you know, when the time comes, which friend actually comes to you? So Facebook, you may have 5,000 friends. Maybe you have 10 million views, but the real friend is the one who comes. But it's very important to know that before you ask for help, you should be able to help your friends.
Yeah.
You should be friendly to everyone. Remember this, you should be friendly to everyone, but you should choose your friends carefully. Because you can't say the whole world is a friend. No, it can't be. You can't go everywhere and you can't have everybody as your friend, but you can be friendly to everyone. And remember this, that you are always a kind of a person made by your friends.
Hmm.
You are an average of the five people whom you spend your time with.
Yeah.
So, Mitra Sambandaha, keep your association with good friends.
Mm-hmm.
In the spiritual world, it is called Sat Sangha.
Sat Sangha, yeah.
Sat means holy and Sangha means company. So, we have all the three, Anvikshiki, Vriddha Sanyogaha and Mitra Sambandaha. You will never fail in life.
Superb. And very well explained and easy to connect with. And as you rightly mentioned, people will have n number of followers on various social media platforms. But when it comes to the real need, right, how many of them will come forward? And one thing that I am going to take away from this conversation is first help others and then seek help from them, right? So that is the biggest takeaway. And wonderful conversation. And let's keep it going. So could you also share a memorable experience or lesson learned from your interactions with organizations like Indian Armed Forces and various government bodies highlighting the practical application of Chanakya strategies?
So I'll ask a question. Which is the fastest animal on earth? I mean, sir, any thought?
Cheetah, maybe.
That's what most of the people say, you know. But you'll be surprised, you know, I have a friend who is an expert in life sciences. He's a professor at Mumbai University. He was telling me the fastest animal on earth is actually elephant.
Elephant, wow.
And nobody thinks like that.
Yeah.
Because elephant is always slow, very huge. And, you know, it's almost like a lazy animal. But you'll be surprised that elephant, when it starts running, once it starts running, it is the fastest animal in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing is that elephants doesn't run always, and it always requires a purpose to run. And elephants always runs for protecting its herd. The elephant is more like a family animal.
Yeah.
So when the jungle is on fire, it starts running. It will protect the whole family. Why am I telling this? Because the government is like an elephant.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
huge. It's powerful. But many people say it's lazy. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something. I've seen in the government organizations, once you have a great leader in place, the whole government machinery starts running and it can be very fast. For example, if you look at the governments across the globe,
mm-hmm.
when the coronavirus period stuck, everybody became active.
True.
When there are warlike situations, yeah. everybody becomes active. So I find that the government is not inefficient, but it requires a leader who will make it more efficient. So I think we have the best talent in the government. If you look at the IAS officers, IPS officers, the civil servants, the armed forces, they're all brilliant people. They're brainy people. Imagine a person who's a district collector. He would have a size to manage bigger than a multinational company.
Yeah, true.
And he's got limited budgets also. And he's got a process. But if the leader is right, the whole government machinery will work for you. If the leader doesn't have a vision, the government becomes a problem. So what we require is actually vision in the government system. And then nobody can stop them. It's like an elephant who will become the fastest animal in that whole jungle.
Superb. This is a learning to me. And I love the metaphor of elephant compared to the government. And as you rightly mentioned, I think COVID has proved time and again that if at all there is any emergency, governments will come forward and work for the welfare of the citizens, right? So it's a great reminder, and let us stop blaming governments, folks. Wonderful, sir. I loved it. And let's move forward. And here comes my next one. So you have been to 22 different countries and you have had interactions with over some 15,000-20,000 and beyond. So you're having engaged with diverse audiences across the globe. How do you this cultural context influence the reception and implementation of Chanakya's principles in different parts of the world? So do they take it positively?
So I'll tell you something. Yeah, please continue. Please continue.
No, what I said is, are they taking it positively? For sure, they're taking it positively. But are they implementing better than what Indians are able to implement, if I may ask that question?
Yeah. So, Naveen sir, you know, whenever I travel abroad, I meet two kind of people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One of them who are actually having an Indian origin.
Yeah.
So, everywhere in the world, we have an Indian diaspora. So, yeah. Let's say when I go to US, we have the whole, you know, techie community. They're all from India, but they're working in America. Same thing, you go to London. You know, you got a lot of Indians in London, in UK also. You go to Fiji, you go to Singapore. So when I talk to such Indians who have an Indian origin, those people understand Chanakya because they heard the Chanakya word or the name in their childhood in India. So they have a sense of pride and say, oh, I'm also an Indian and Chanakya was also an Indian. But there's a second category whom I meet abroad who are not from Indian origin.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, for example, in America, you have a lot of people having European origin. Now, those people have never heard about Chanakya. So they say, who is Chanakya? So I say, we have to start with the basics. So C for Chanakya. I was also Kautilya. I was also Vishnu Gupta.
Right.
Now, for Indians abroad, I don't think it's very difficult to talk about Chanakya because they already have some understanding of Chanakya.
Right.
But for the people without an Indian background, I need to introduce Chanakya. Now, here is my learning. Lot of people without Indian origin also have been practicing Chanakya, but they were not aware of it. For example, I remember I was training the government department of Singapore. I was in Singapore and, you know, we had the ministries and all who were attending my training program.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that none of them were actually from Indian origin. In fact, one of my friends from Indian origin actually organized that program.
Oh.
He's in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
So his company sponsored it. But all the attendees were non-Indians.
Got it.
They're all government ministries and, you know, their workers. I would say officers. In fact, we had a minister also.
Mm.
So it was a full day training program. And after that, I was taking feedback. So this Singaporean minister comes and tells me, I want to tell you something. Like, yeah, tell me what is it? I loved your session. I loved your Chanakya presentation. I never knew it was Chanakya.
Mm.
But let me tell you, we have been implementing all these principles even without knowing it is of Chanakya.
Amazing.
So, for example, he told, you know, like a leader, qualities of a leader. He has to be inspirational.
Yeah.
I mean, and the Sanskrit word is Utsaha Vardaka. Mm-hmm. He has to be inspiration. And he said in Singapore, we had a great leader called Lee Kuan Yew, the creator of modern Singapore. So saying that we never knew that, Lee Kuan Yew's qualities were the same qualities which were taught by Chanakya thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
So I tell you, friends, whether you know about Chanakya or no, what Chanakya spoke about, definitely people are trying to understand and experience in their own lives. Right. So Chanakya's principles are global principles, not just Indian principles.
So they can be applied anywhere and people might already be applying without knowing that it is coming from Chanakya. That's amazing. Wonderful. And this has been fabulous conversation so far. And it's time for us to add some more excitement and some more fun element. So I would like to kick off the second rapid fire round with your consent.
Sure.
Okay, here comes my first bullet. If you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say?
It would say, live before you die. So a lot of people are actually, not living. They're trying to avoid death. I don't want to die. So today, if you look at people who want to be fit, it is not that they want health. They want to be unhealthy. No, they don't want to be unhealthy, but they want to make sure they don't die. Right. I say everybody will die. Everybody has to die.
Correct.
Physically. But have you lived your life well?
Yeah.
So, even after you die, you become a legend. Like I have never met Swami Vivekananda.
Right.
But, he's already dead. He died at the age of 39.
Correct. Yeah.
But he's actually lived a life that is inspiring for other generations also.
Yeah.
So the billboard for me would say very clearly, live before you die.
Amazing. I think so profound thoughts there. I loved it. And here comes my next question. If Chanakya were alive today, what modern day profession do you think he would excel in?
Leadership coaching.
Spot on.
Because he created leaders for that generation.
Right.
And he will create leaders for this generation.
Superb. No doubt about it. And can you describe yourself in just one word?
Learner. Who became a teacher.
Wow. And if you could invite three historical figures, including Chanakya, to a dinner party, who would they be and why?
So the first one will be Chanakya.
Yeah.
The second one would be Swami Vivekananda.
Uh-huh.
And the third one will be Lee Kuan Yew.
Mm.
Why should I only learn from Indians? I can also learn from, global leaders.
Superb. Loved the thought process. Yeah.
If I have more table space, I will also invite John F. Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy. Wow. Another visionary leader. Yeah.
And Abdul Kalam.
Abdul Kalam. That's a powerful combination, I think. The kind of conversation, if we were to imagine the kind of conversation that get triggered, right? It would be full of wisdom and all, and probably the room will be full of aura as well, right? Amazing,
yeah.
Amazing. And if you had to cast Chanakya in a modern movie, which actor would you choose to play him and why?
Interestingly, I'm already working on that project.
Oh, wow. Great to know that.
So there's a Bollywood movie where we are making on Chanakya. I'm involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
The actor that has been narrowed down is Ajay Devgan.
Oh, got it. Yeah, I think he would be the perfect fit. Great to know that.
The director decides the actor. And that's going to be Ajay Devgan.
Good to know that, sir. And I'm eagerly looking forward for that particular movie. And I'm sure audience would also be loving to watch that. With that, let me trigger the last question out of the second rapid fire round. What is one fantasy gadget or an electronic gadget that you'd like to see or invent yourself?
The human brain. Because in the world of artificial intelligence, AI, we are forgetting NI, natural intelligence. I think you can have multiple gadgets. But I think what's important is you use the human intellect. Everything can be automated, but human brain is creative. So the biggest gadget is the human brain itself. Even people are wondering how much creative can be. As people said, Einstein only used 2% of his brain. 98% of his brain was unused. So look at the human potential.
Yeah.
I think gadgets are important. I use the best gadgets. So, I'm using the iPhone right now. I have a laptop, all those things. We can use the best cameras, social media. But what about the human being and the brain? All gadget is small in front of the collective human brain.
Yep.
So I said, I want to study the human brain, which is very creative, innovative and productive.
Very nice. Unfortunately, we are not using it to the fullest potential, right? People like Einstein itself, if they have used only 2% of it, imagine ordinary people like us. Probably we are using negligible amount of that particular capacity. And as you rightly said, people are behind gadgets and trying to rely on the artificial intelligence and overlooking natural intelligence. I think this is a powerful message that everybody has to really look into and do some introspection and get creative by using our brains. So that's my key takeaway. All right, so let's get back to the mainstream and looking ahead, like what are your aspirations for the future of leadership education and the continued relevance of ancient Indian wisdom in shaping the global business practices?
So I think we should teach leadership at every school, not only business school. Yeah. Right from your primary education system, we should introduce leadership as a subject. Of course, as you grow higher, you can use it in business leadership also. I have done my little contribution. You know, most of my books, including the latest book, Chanakya's 100 Best Sutras.
Yeah.
They are all part of school curriculum and also a lot of business schools. They're used in IIMs and IITs also. So Indian Institute of Management, Indian Institute of Technology, a lot of universities are using it. I tell this that it's very important that every child should be trained as a leader. Unfortunately, we've been trained like a follower. Okay, so business leaders are required, not business employees. Of course, there'll be sector of a society that will require employment. But as they said, you know, we require more leaders than followers. Unfortunately, we have more followers than leaders. So leadership in business or generally, maybe the political world, maybe administrative, academic, scientific world, everybody requires leaders. Even if you live in a housing society, you require a good leader. A sports team requires a good leader.
Yeah.
You know, an artist also can be a leader.
Yeah.
So I think what we require is a generation of leaders. What we require is a generation of leaders, and the leadership training should start with the education system and before that, in the family itself. So let all the parents listening to this podcast make sure you train your children to become leaders, not followers.
And those leaders should create more leaders.
Such in fact, a powerful, leaders are the one who create more leaders. Yeah.
Yeah. Such a powerful message. And I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. And how is your experience being hosted on The Guiding Voice TGV podcast?
You have been a very humble podcaster.
Means a lot.
I like your smile. So very humbling experience, and you know, you have respected the time, and all your questions were very precise and very intelligent questions.
Thank you.
And thank you for this, because you know, I'll tell you, I've done so many podcasts, but to get at this milestone is something which is very fascinating for me, and I'm sure all the listeners and viewers also enjoy seeing your show. Let me tell you that I'm also a big fan of yours.
Oh my God. that is big thing, sir. That is a big thing. And thank you so much. I am really humbled, and I'm already on cloud nine that this conversation has happened. And when I read that particular book, I never imagined I would get into a call with an eminent personality like you. And this is so inspiring. And personally, I learned a lot. And there are a lot of takeaways for our audience as well. And this is one episode which I'm going to cherish for a long, long time. And I'm looking forward to hosting you again in future.
Thank you so much, Naveen sir. It's an amazing podcast. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I look forward to more 500 episodes.
Sure, definitely. So friends, that was our episode with Chanakya Pillai, aka Radhakrishnan Pillai. And it was an humbling experience talking to such a humble and eminent personality, Radha sir. So friends, before we jump into the fun trivia section, we have a quick request. In case if you haven't already subscribed to TGV, The Guiding Voice podcast, please subscribe to our podcast from wherever you have tuned in, because subscribing keeps you updated on new episodes. And also if you have enjoyed the conversation and found it useful, please share with at least three of your friends or colleagues who would also like TGV, The Guiding Voice. So spread the knowledge and help others grow just like you. Now let's cruise into the trivia segment of today's episode. We have had amazing conversation with the author of Corporate Chanakya and 101 Best Sutras of Chanakya. Likewise, Dr. Radha sir has authored close to 20 books, and out of which many are international bestsellers. And here today, I wanted to talk about a few lesser known facts about Chanakya, and one of them is the real name and childhood. In fact, Radha sir has already mentioned about Chanakya's real name, which is Kautilya or Vishnugupta. And in fact, Chanakya was born with the name Vishnugupta, and he hailed from the ancient city of Takshashila, which is now in Pakistan. And he was known for his exceptional intelligence even as a child. And second is about expertise in economics and political science. While Chanakya is widely recognized for his expertise in political strategy and statecraft, as evident in the Kautilya's Arthashastra, he was also a brilliant economist and he made significant contributions to the economic theory, advocating for efficient taxation and state control over key industries. And his role in founding the Maurya Empire was also critical. So he played a pivotal role in the rise of Chandragupta Maurya, the founder of the Maurya Empire. And he not only trained and advised Chandragupta, but also orchestrated alliances and military campaigns that ultimately lead to the downfall of the Nanda dynasty and the establishment of the Maurya dynasty. So folks, I would love to hear from you, not about Chanakya, because we already had amazing conversation with none other than Chanakya Pillai, aka Radha Pillai, sir. But I would love to hear your feedback in terms of how was the episode and what did you like most from today's conversation. And I look forward to your comments. If you are watching this episode on YouTube, you can comment there. Or if you have found this episode on some social media platform, do let me know. I would love to read your comments and mention about them in future. And that's it for today. So thank you so much for tuning in and also for being part of our awesome TGV family. So would love to hear from you. So do not hesitate to share your ideas, feedback, topic recommendations, or guest speaker suggestions either through our social media or email. Our email address is theguidingvoiceforyou@gmail.com, for as in digit 4 and U as in letter U. And let's create content that resonates with you. I'm your host, Navin Samala, a lifelong learner, and my goal is to have impactful conversations that improve your life and also your career. So until next time, take care, stay inspired, and remember, the best is yet to come. Goodbye for now. See you all in the next episode with another amazing guest.